Well, over the last number of weeks in our congregation, we have been engaged in a study on the name of the Lord. I know a number of you are here visiting today, and you have not had the previous 11 weeks or so of that study. But we've come to a conclusion this morning, and we've been working to it especially over the last 3 weeks. We've learned how God reveals himself to us in various ways through the Word. One way is through these titles that he gives us. And the purpose of God's revelation is ultimately to show us how he saves, that we might know him as our Savior and our God. And so the last 3 weeks has really been taking the truths that we've learned and applying them in particular ways. The first way was that we need to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Romans 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then in our Christian life, we need to learn to continually run to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And then last week we looked at another three aspects, verbs that are used in relation to the name of the Lord, what we're to do in connection to that name. And so we considered fearing the name of the Lord, worshipping the name of the Lord, and bearing the name of the Lord. In our baptism, we are marked with the name of the triune God, and everywhere we go, that name goes with us. It ought to convict us of our sin, and at the same time, encourage us to strive after holiness. Well, this morning we come to an end, and I hope in some respects it's a climax to the study, because the text that I'll direct your attention to is an evident call, an unmistakable call for a heart response to everything that we've considered. Before we get to our text, I want to show you another related text in Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 6. You'll remember chapter 55 is a glorious invitation. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come to Jesus Christ. And in chapter 56, Gentiles from all nations are doing just that. They're coming to Israel's Messiah. We're told also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him, and listen, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. That's a prophecy of you and me, Gentiles, coming to the knowledge of Israel's God. But the description of what our religion will look like has at its very heart this, that we love the name of the Lord. We love the name of the Lord. And that means to be a Christian is at its heart an affectionate relationship to God through Jesus Christ. And if we do not love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth, we are not Christ's. You can have all the head knowledge that you want. You can read all of the theological books that you want. You could give theological lectures. You could even preach sermons. But though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, have not charity, I am as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Christians love the name of the Lord. Well, in our text this morning, we have a tremendous illustration that gives force to that statement in a descriptive picture. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 3. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore, do the virgins love thee. The Song of Solomon, Song of Songs here, which is written by Solomon, is the greatest of all the 1,005 songs that Solomon ever penned. It's the superlative song. As Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, as Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords, so this song, which is ultimately about Jesus Christ, is the Song of Songs. It's clearly a love song, and therefore it sets before us in a very graphic way the most powerful emotion that God has given to us as human beings. It pertains in the first place to a relationship between Solomon and his Shulamite bride. But that is but a shadow to take us to a greater and more profound truth. The relationship between Jesus Christ and his people in an everlasting union and communion of love. And so the song begins in verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. What a statement. If you don't understand these things are about the Lord Jesus Christ, in the end, you're just going to be left with a question mark. Why is a book like this in Scripture? Yes, it teaches us about marital love. But it's not the main lesson. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. This is the desire of the bride. Now, when you think about that, he's the king. And it would be one thing for someone to go and kiss the king. Maybe they might kiss the king on the hand in an act of submission. Maybe even in ancient times they would come, bow down and kiss the king on the feet. But this is the bride not saying, oh, let me kiss you. This is the bride saying, oh, let him kiss me with the kisses, plural, repeatedly, of his mouth. Don't you see it's a desire on her part for the affectionate love of the king? Why does she so desire this? Well, she tells us at the end of verse 2, for thy love is better than wine. Scripture speaks of wine in various ways as a danger. We can get drunk and destroy ourselves. There's a benefit. Psalm 104, verse 15, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man. And it's here the Shulamite takes up that benefit of wine and compares the love of the king to it and says there's no comparison. Your love to me is better than wine. We could say that Christ's love to our soul is better than any worldly joy, any worldly gladness, any earthly relationship. That's the point here of verse 2. Though in that context of love, we find our text, verse 3, because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore, do the virgins love thee? He's opening up this name. She says, as your name, as I hear your name, all these fragrances come forth. And the fragrance, when we receive it, it stirs up love again. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Christian response to the name of the Lord. Christ's virgins, believers that have been saved from the world and espoused to one husband, they hear the name of the Lord and they love everything that they hear. So with the help of the Lord this morning, we want to consider this theme, loving the name of the Lord. We'll do it in four ways. First of all, by considering the name. And then secondly, the ointment. Thirdly, the pouring. And fourthly, the savouring. Beginning then, first of all, with the name. Now, you know that over the last number of weeks, we have placed large focus upon the name of the Lord, particularly the name Jehovah. And we've learned that this is the infinite and eternal I am, the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. And all those compound names that we find linked to Jehovah, such as Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rophaika, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tsidkenu, and we've learned how each of these names finds its ultimate expression and fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is Jehovah Jireh in that he is the Lamb of God given for the salvation of the world. He's Jehovah Rophaika in that he is the Lord who heals us from all of our spiritual diseases. He's Jehovah Shalom in that he is our peace. By his blood, he has made reconciliation with the Father. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu in that he is our righteousness. Jesus Christ, the end of the law for righteousness. And for these reasons, time and again, I've been referring to Jesus as Jehovah Jesus. You turn to Matthew chapter 1. You'll see that ultimately, this is who he is. Because although we don't recognize it in our English word, the name of Jehovah is in this name, Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, we're reading here in the context of his birth, and the angel comes to Joseph and tells him, don't put Mary away. The child in her womb is of the Holy Ghost. She's going to bring forth a son. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, children, the angel didn't really say that. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, what are you saying? Are you contradicting the Bible? No, I'm not. But the angel would not have used the word Jesus. That's an English word. The angel would not even have used the word Jesus, because that's a Greek word. The angel would have spoke to this Hebrew man and said, thou shalt call his name Yeshua, which is a Hebrew word, Joshua. And the word Yeshua has Jehovah at the end, and it means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah Jesus. In this name, you have the name of a divine person. The infinite I Am, who is of the same nature as the Father. You remember Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Verse 1, it's the word Adonai. But then he hears the angels cry, and they don't use the word Adonai, they use the word Jehovah. And they cry, holy, holy, holy is Jehovah Sabaoth. The whole earth is full of his glory. In John chapter 12, had we read on this morning, Jesus tells us that Isaiah saw him on that day. Jehovah Jesus. Jehovah Sabaoth. It's the name of a divine person. The same God who revealed himself in the angel of the covenant to Moses at the burning bush, where he took his shoes from off his feet and he declared unto Moses, I am that I am. The same God who appeared to Daniel, and Daniel fell at his feet as one dead. The same God that we sing of in Psalm 45 verse 6, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. It's all in this name, Jehovah Jesus. It's the name of a divine person. But it's also the name of a true man. Here's the wonder of our salvation. Our infinite God became our brother. Who can understand that mystery? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The infinite God became our brother. He took bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh to be our redeemer. Or to put it another way, in order that he might be for us, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rophaika, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tsidkenu. He humbled himself to take our nature, that he might redeem everything that we are unto God and his Father. This is the name that our text this morning is speaking of, Song of Solomon 1 and verse 3. The name of a divine person, the name of a true man. You get something of the sense of the wonder of this when Jesus is born and the angels appear to the shepherds and they're abiding in their fields and the glory of the Lord shines round about them and they're terrified, they're so afraid. What's going on, as you would be? And the angel says, fear not. I bring you good news. A Saviour is born in the city of David, and heaven erupts. And the angels are heard saying, glory to God in the highest and to the earth peace. Now there you are out in the fields, stunned with that glory. And off you go to find this Saviour. And you find him in a stable, laid in a manger. The Son to whom belonged eternal glory takes our low estate, lives in outward obscurity to save us from our sins. But what I want you to see is everything that is in this name, everything and more that we've considered over the last 11 weeks is in that manger. Jehovah Jesus, the name which is above every name, at which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the name in our text. Secondly, the ointment. The ointment. Our text says, because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Well, in the ancient East, it was common to anoint yourself with oil. Psalm 104, I referred to earlier, brings wine and oil together. Wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil that makes his face to shine. Often they would add fragrance to that oil. They would make a kind of perfume, as many of you ladies use, and even your men as well. Some of you use perfume, you just call it aftershave. It's the same idea. Had these fragrant oils. But in Scripture, they serve often as a religious function. So you'll find kings and sometimes prophets, but particularly priests, would be anointed with these oils as they began to exercise their ministry. And the most fragrant of all the oils in Scripture was reserved for the holy anointing oil that was applied to the priest. If you turn to Exodus chapter 30, God is giving divine directions for this oil in verse 22 and following. Exodus 30 verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices, of pure myrrh 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus 250 shekels, and of cassia 500 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil olive and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary, or we might say perfumer, the art of the apothecary, and it shall be an holy anointing oil. But then verse 30, and thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. A unique oil with God-given ingredients reserved for the high priest of Israel alone. God said, make it in chapter 40, Aaron is anointed with that oil. And we sang of that in Psalm 133 this morning. It's like the oil that was upon the head of Aaron that came down the beard and covered his garments right down to the very skirts. He was soaked in this holy anointing oil. I remember when I was at school, and maybe around 13 or 14 years of age, and young girls at that point get very image conscious, and they started to wear makeup and perfume, and they would go out of the class at break time, and they would come in covered in perfume. It stank the place. You nearly had to open the window for some relief. Here is a priest saturated with this holy anointing oil. He stands there as the representative of the people in the sanctuary, and the fragrance is filling everything in the sanctuary. It's permeating everything that was done in the sanctuary. And in that it was reserved for the high priest, it was a particular type and shadow of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. What was it? Well, it was an anointing that he received as he began on a sacred office. And so when our Lord Jesus Christ begins his ministry, he fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. The word Christ literally means anointed one. It's the Greek of the Hebrew Messiah. And in Isaiah chapter 61, we read of him, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Christ fulfills that. At his baptism, the Holy Spirit comes upon him as the holy anointing oil was applied to the priest. He's anointed for service. He's anointed with the Spirit of God above measure. He receives this oil that is elsewhere called the oil of gladness. He receives it more than anyone, to the full. And he begins his ministry as the Messiah, the Christ of God, for our salvation. It's a special anointing for office. But then it reminds us of the spiritual fragrance and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was told, "You look for the one that the Spirit descends upon and abides upon." You look for that one. And John says of him, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And when we see our Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one the Father says, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. And just like the Old Testament high priest, when you study the life of Jesus and think about this picture fulfilled in him, everywhere he goes, his person carries this fragrance. His life is marked with this beautiful spiritual smell. He has the graces of the Holy Spirit without measure. I think that's what it's referring to in our text, where we're told at the beginning, "Because of the savour of thy good ointments," in the plural. The smell of thy good ointments. All of the spiritual graces that we see to perfection in the life of our Lord Jesus. Everywhere he goes in his person, he carries these graces. Compassion, love, kindness, goodness. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, succulent on the tree of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. But not everywhere he goes, merely. But everything he does, marked with the fragrance of this holy ointment. Jesus is baptized and anointed with the Spirit. What happens next, children? Can you remember? We're told that he's carried by that Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And what do we see? But the last Adam triumphing where the first Adam failed. And what is that to our soul when we see Jesus conquering the devil right there in those temptations? It's this fragrance, you see. It's the graces. It's the ointments coming forth. And then he comes back to the synagogue in Nazareth and he begins to preach. And what's his sermon? Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted. And that's what he begins to do. He preaches the gospel. He heals those who are lame. He raises the dead. And everywhere he goes and everything he does, he carries this glorious spiritual fragrance throughout all of his work. His miracles are fragranced with it. His crucifixion, his death, his resurrection. His name is his ointment poured forth. So we have the name, and then we have the ointment. But thirdly, we have the pouring. The pouring. Children, does your mother have any of those bottles of perfume? Does your father have cologne? I think that's what you call it. I call it aftershave. It's a British term. Cologne, does he have any of that? If you go into their bathroom and see it there, do you smell anything? You don't, do you? Because Mom has to crack the bottle open and pour the ointment out. Maybe she puts it on her wrist, and maybe she puts it on her neck, and then she walks into the room, and you think, whoa, Mum's got her perfume on. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ's perfume, this holy fragrance. But to smell that, it needs to be opened unto us, doesn't it? And the Lord opens that unto us in two ways. First of all, in history. He opens it to us in history. And for that you can go right back to the Garden of Eden. And the stench of sin has just come into our world with all of its corruption. And Jesus' name is his ointment poured forth. Because God comes to Adam and he says the seed of the woman is going to bruise the head of the serpent. That's the cure for the stench of sin that has come into this world. And Satan is there, and he loves the stench of sin that he's just brought into the world. He has no nose for this fragrance. And the Lord begins to open up the name of the Lord unto him. He continues to open it up through covenant promises in the Old Testament. And then the day comes when God manifests in the flesh, is born into this world, and God cracks this ointment open in an altogether new way. And then we see it in his works. And we behold it in the cross. And we smell it in the resurrection. And we rejoice in it in the ascension to the right hand of the Father. This ointment, you see, it's being opened up and poured forth for us in history. But you say that history is history. It's not my present. I don't see these things. I'm not hearing them in the first present, in the first person. Well, what does the Lord do for us? Well, I've just told you all those things because he's revealed them to you in this word. And so he opens this bottle of ointment and he pours it out to you in the word. And what happens is this. Turn to John chapter 12. In that little home in Bethany, where Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead and Mary and Martha, his two sisters, are there serving the Lord. John 12, verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. When you read the Word of God, you crack open this vial of ointment. You open the bottle. And as the name of God is His title, yes, but more than that, everything by which He reveals Himself unto us, and He has magnified His Word above all His name. When you open this Word is like ointment poured forth. And if your soul were like that room in Bethany, the fragrance will begin to permeate and penetrate every aspect of your being, and it will be sweet to your savour, sweeter even than honey in the honeycomb. You think of your Bible reading like that? That you have this book, in a sense, that's closed, and then you crack it open, and what happens? This fragrance of the name of the Lord pours forth as you open it. And then, of course, He does that in a particular way through the preaching of the Word. It's happening now. His name is as ointment poured forth. And as you've worked through with me these last number of weeks, this series on the name of the Lord, every title and every work that that title was associated with has given you another aspect of the unique and incomparable fragrance of the loveliness of our Lord Jesus Christ. As ministers of the gospel stand and summarize their ministry under that great head, "We preach Christ crucified," that in its entirety is a perpetual pouring forth of the name of the Lord, fragrant to the hearts of God's people. Then His name is His ointment poured forth in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In providence, we've been hindered from that, but we can maybe remember the fragrance of it in our own nostrils and long for it once again. But what happens there is Jesus takes us to the table and He gives us the visible Word. And we behold the man of sorrows who was acquainted with grief, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The name of our Saviour is like this ointment poured forth to us. You know anything about this in your experience? Maybe even now, as the name of the Lord is opened unto you, the soul, your soul just breathing in the beauty and majesty of Christ. Then another way it's poured forth is in Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship should be fragrant. Sometimes we get together and we talk about the biggest load of nonsense. There's no beauty in it. And then we get down to Christian fellowship and we begin to edify one another with the Scriptures, and we begin to talk about Christ and His beauty and our experience of Him. And what is it but this? You remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Peter, James and John go up with Jesus and He's metamorphosized before their eyes. They behold Him in a way they've never seen Him before. Two men appear with them, Moses and Elias. Can you remember what they were talking about? Moses representing the law. Elijah representing the prophets. Those who predicted the one who stood there before them in His glory. And Moses and Elias are talking about His death, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. That was their fellowship in heaven. That was their theme. And Peter gets it all mixed up. Let's build tents here. Let's stay here. And the other two are removed and Jesus is left. Jesus only. That's the core of Christian fellowship. That's the conversation in heaven. That's the delight of believers upon the earth. We get together and in Christian fellowship we're pouring out the name of the Lord. We're cracking open this bottle of glorious fragrance. reading the Word, preaching the Word, sitting at the visible Word, the sacrament, fellowshipping with other believers in the Word. This glorious name, which is His ointment, is now being poured forth. And that brings us finally to the savouring. When this ointment is poured forth, there's a response. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Because of the smell of the King. You were to love everything in the divine name. Because everything in the divine name reveals to you the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I go back to what I said earlier. This is not mere speculative knowledge. There are many professing Christians and they can tell you all about the ointment in the bottle. They can tell you the ingredients of the ointment. They can even tell you about that ointment being poured forth for other people. They'll tell you the story of redemption from the seed promise to the coming of Christ and ultimately to the eschaton, the end of all things. They can tell you all that. But this knowledge is experiential. You can tell me what a bottle of wine tastes like because you've read the label on the back of the bottle. But you may have never put that wine to your lips. Well, not so here. Therefore, do the virgins love thee? And their love is described, as it often is, in the language of the senses. So that we don't mistake the fact that we have to go beyond a mere theoretical knowledge of Christ to an experiential knowledge of Christ. God talks about tasting, seeing, touching, and here smelling. Senses. Senses of the soul. Things that we are to experience. Things that as a result of that our hearts are to relish. Therefore, this morning, as we consider loving the name of the Lord, what does it mean for us in our lives? Well, surely it means this. First of all, a desire for Jesus Christ. A desire for Jesus Christ. That's what fragrance is really all about. See these bugs that are flying around my head at the minute? They're looking for something. These little flowers over here that are putting out scent, and they're following the scent to the flower because the scent is designed to attract them to the flower. See it all around you in nature. Going back to you ladies, why is it that you put perfume on? The same reason that you put ornaments on. The same reason that you may put some makeup on. It's to beautify your person, to make you attractive. And husbands, if you're sensitive to this at all, you even become aware of the fragrance of your wife. If I were to give you two sweaters, and I were to say to you, which one is your wife, and you would smell, you'd be able to tell me. The fragrance, it's designed to attract. You say, well, I'm not an insect, I'm not married. What do you mean? Well, you like food, don't you? You walk into somewhere and you smell the food. So it's a glorious gift. What happens when you smell good food, children? Your mouth starts to water. You get hungry, don't you? You want to eat it. Desire for Jesus Christ. Desire for Jesus Christ. Some of you sit here this morning and you know nothing of what I'm speaking. because you see, we don't have this spiritual nose by nature. We're not these virgins here by nature. You see, in the natural realm, the woman is a virgin and then she's not. In the spiritual realm, the sinner is a whore before they're a virgin. It's reversed. And in our spiritual harlotry, we have no nose, no attraction, and no desire for the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have every desire for the stench of sin and Satan. We follow the serpent in the garden. And when the name of the seed is cracked open, it stinks to us. We're like the idols in Psalm 115. They have hands, but they can't touch, eyes, they can't see, noses, and they savor not, and their makers are like unto them. That's man in sin. He has a nose, but he has no sense of smell for the beauty and glory of Christ. But then Christ comes to that soul in grace, and what happens? All of a sudden, they begin to smell the beautiful fragrance of God manifest in the flesh for our redemption. And they hear him coming to them, this glorious king, and they say, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. They're astounded when he opens up his name to learn that this king, this glorious king, woos the whore and the harlot and brings them to himself to make them his chaste virgins. The name of the Lord, when it's opened unto the soul in that way, it becomes as this ointment poured forth. And you say, I want Jesus Christ. I want Jesus Christ above all things. His love is better than wine. His love is better than the love of women. His love is better than every earthly good. His loving kindness is better than life itself. I want him above all, and I want him alone. Is there any beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Any sense of the fragrance of Christ this morning that would make you say within your soul, I desire him. His name is glorious. His person is glorious. His work is glorious. And my mouth is watering. I'm hungry for him. I desire him. Do you know anything of that in your soul today? Then when you come to him, it continues. All of your life you hear the name, your senses, the senses of your soul are stirred up. You desire him, and when he's absent, you mourn for him when he is gone. Because his name is like this ointment poured forth. Desire for Jesus Christ. But then there's also delight in Jesus Christ. Delight in Jesus Christ. Unto you who believe, he's precious. You love his name. And his name is like the ointment that came down upon the head, down the beard, even to the skirts of Aaron. And you're able to sing those beautiful words in Psalm 45, of myrrh and spices sweet, a smell thy garments hath, out of the ivory palaces whereby they made thee glad. Some of the very components there of the holy anointing oil referred to with respect to Jesus Christ our Lord. You delight in the name. What's it look like Well, here's one way that you delight in this name when you're under the conviction of sin. You get a sense of the fragrance of this name, Jehovah Jireh. There you are under the knife, like Isaac, and the knife is going to fall upon you and death is coming. And Jesus is opened unto you as the Lamb of God, slain for the redemption of sinners. And Christ appears to you at that moment as never more glorious than as the Lamb of God. What a delight. What a fragrance to the soul. Or what about when you're in affliction? And darkness comes into your experience and a host of problems threaten to overwhelm you and you hear the name Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts who governs everything in heaven, everything in earth, everything in hell. And you say to yourself, well, this is so. And I cast my burden upon the Lord. He will sustain me. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a sweet fragrance to the soul. Or what about the greatest trouble? When you come to the end of your life and you're face to face with death. Some of you might lose your footing at that time. Many have. Do you know the thing that's going to set your feet upon the rock is the smell of the fragrance of this name. Imagine yourself lying there facing eternity and you're searching in heart for assurance of your interest in Christ. And the Lord blesses his name to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What a tonic to your heart. What a tonic to your soul if someone were to come and sit down beside you and say something like, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Or, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What a tonic to your soul. The sweetness of the name of our God in life, in death, through trial, and into eternity. And you know what the sweetest thing is going to be to you for all eternity? Is this bottle of ointment cracked open to a greater degree than you've ever experienced in this world? And your soul filled with the sense of the beauty and the glory of Christ forever. When as his glorified bride, his holy virgin church, you will love him and adore him forevermore. That, brethren, has begun on earth. We've been experiencing a little of it over these last number of weeks. And as we conclude, what can we say? But because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Let's stand for prayer.